We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky. I'm now back home in Nathans, Illinois, the home of Whitey Herzog, for those of you who are baseball fans, the World Series winning coach of the St. Louis Cardinals, also took the Kansas City Royals to the playoffs as well. And I have with, so I don't know why. Well, it's baseball season, Matt. That's why I'm bringing the World Series. When we're recording, it's going on even as I'm talking. Well, anyway, who's with me today?
Well, I have been in Cardinals country the whole time. I haven't gone anywhere.
There you go.
This is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
And it's kind of an odd situation because I left my video camera up north so I can see Matt, but Matt can't see me. So little does he know, right now I'm wiggling my hands at him on my ears and making funny faces, but he'll never know. He'll never
and
know.
And probably still in your pajamas too.
Yeah, that's right. So we usually start off with something we hope it's funny, but I want to be a little serious today. Because we who do podcasting, that's what we do now, Matt. We're podcasters. Did you realize that?
Yeah, I mean, I know we're on the air somewhat live, yeah. Right? On the Saturday
semi-live.
Mornings. Yeah, yeah. Semi-live, pre-recorded live, however that works. Yeah. And especially here in St. Louis, certainly people can listen to that. But yeah, I think the majority of our listeners probably listen online, podcast format.
That's the time warp then. So I'm referencing the World Series, but probably by the time this is, people hear it, the series has probably been over for a week or so. And here's my difficulty. I want people to pray for me if they will. But in fact, by the time they listen to this, the thing I'm praying about may be over, maybe not. But if you are listening to this episode when it originally airs, which is on a Saturday before November 13th, this coming Wednesday, I'm going to have a hiatal hernia surgery. And by the way, it is hiatal. It's not hiatal. I said that for months, and I think nurses were probably looking, what's he doing? What's wrong with him? I don't know what he's talking about. But anyway.
What is he here for?
Yeah, what's he here for? And it's not a really, really serious surgery, although anytime they start putting you under anesthetic and poke on you, it is laparoscopic surgery, as you went through. And of course, when they told me that, Matt, I thought, oh, no sweat. Matt had laparoscopic surgery, and there was nothing to it, was there, Matt?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, and thankful for it. If I can avoid a huge 5-inch incision, I will. So it went well, John.
And speaking of which, I'm a guy that has your 5-6-inch incision for my open heart surgery, you know? So I'm thinking it should be no big deal. But of course, then I found out that unlike your laparoscopic surgery, when you were done, you could eat anything you wanted to, since they are actually twisting my esophagus. That's what a hiatal hernia surgery is. They take your esophagus and they twist it. Okay. And we
is
can
it
go
the full, into you were talking about this before, a half twist, quarter twist. What did they decide on?
Well, it used to be a half twist. And now I think they found a third twist is better.
Oh, okay.
I'm just hoping they don't find out. Well, we probably shouldn't twist it at all. But it has to do with things with acid reflux and stuff like that. I won't bore you anymore, but do remember him in your prayers. And please remember me after the 13th, because they tell me that for a month after that, I will not be able to eat solid food.
Oh.
And they also said, oh, yeah, people usually lose 10 to 20 pounds, which, of course, I can bear to lose 10 to 20 pounds. But on the other hand, it doesn't sound too exciting to me. Although, wasn't it you, Matt, who said to me, but John, when it comes to Thanksgiving, you can have all the gravy you want. I don't know if you said that or not.
It was me. Yeah, that's the good news, John.
Yeah, the good news.
Yes, all the gravy. Big bowl of gravy.
Well, anyway, so seriously, to our dear listeners, we love you, and I think you kind of like us as well. So do keep me in your prayers. And the strange thing is the next few episodes, all of this will be going on, but I won't comment it on anymore because I have no idea what the status will be at that point. But Matt, we have better, and again, being in the time warp, as we were doing things, we suddenly realized we missed Reformation. How could we do that?
Hey, we're Lutherans after all. What's going on here?
So we're going to backtrack, and we want to do this episode on the epistle lesson for Reformation, which is a really odd text to start off with. Why in the world did you choose the epistle lesson, Matt? Fill us in here.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, and you're in my prayers too, John, by the way. And God's blessings on that procedure. And keep us posted. I'm sure you will. Let us know. I wanted to preach on the reading from Revelation. I don't know if I have before. For Reformation and when that's observed, there are three standard readings that are recommended every year. One from Romans, one from John, and one from Revelation.
Matt, if I could interrupt you for a second. Yeah. See, that for those who are into the lectionary, like you and sure. I are, that's unusual, because usually we have three different sets of lessons for every Sunday. But for the Reformation, it's always the same three. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, not at all. Yeah, so I'll get to it, why I chose that. But just for starters, I wanted to talk about just the Reformation itself just a little bit, you know, what that is. We mark that date that some see as the beginning of the Reformation in many respects, October the 31st, 1517. Martin Luther, Roman Catholic priest, monk, teacher, he nailed the 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany, and that in many ways sparked the Reformation. And then what followed was many different things following that. But we usually look to that October 31st date. And so typically the weekend before the 31st, whatever the closest weekend is, usually the one right before, we celebrate the Reformation in our congregations. Especially if you're Lutheran, that's probably something your church observed recently.
And a lot of other Protestant churches do that as well.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Yeah, exactly. So I want to start by just, right before Reformation, there was a group of 20 students that came here to Ascension, and they were from a local public high school, actually. So they're taking a class on, that kind of incorporates, it's kind of multidisciplinary. It talks about English and culture and religion and history. And they took a tour of three Christian churches in our area, Catholic Church, an Orthodox Church, and then us here at the Lutheran Church.
Yeah.
And so I had about 30 minutes to just talk to these students about what's a Lutheran and what do Lutherans believe? What are we all about? Which was a really cool opportunity. So I've got 30 minutes, John, and it's like, okay, I need to prioritize here. What do I talk about? You know, what is the defining thing for a Lutheran? And, you know, is it...
Did you tell them listening to Wrestling with the Basics?
That's right. Why didn't I think that? I should have led with that, John.
Yeah.
Listening to the Wrestling with the Basics, the defining characteristic of any good Lutheran is regular listener to Wrestling with the Basics. Yeah. That is an option. That is an option. I think a lot of people think right away of Martin Luther. Actually, you know, we're named after the guy, right? Anyway, you know, so that could be it. Our music, beautiful musical heritage. Scripture alone, even. That's great too. Some people think of beer, you know, German Lutherans, beer, you know.
That's our biggest draw.
it doesn't hurt us, right? You know, all those things, characteristics perhaps of being a Lutheran, some more than others. But, you know, if you had to say what is one defining thing for us as Lutherans, what's kind of at the top? What would you say, John? We'll see if we have the same answer.
Well, I would say faith alone and Christ alone.
Yeah.
And Scripture alone, too, as you already mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's faith alone and Christ alone. And yeah, I just for that group, I just simply said the gospel, right? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And like you said, he is the object of our faith, right? And it's by God's grace through faith that we have salvation. Yeah, I'm with you, John. That's what being a Lutheran is about. So I wanted to focus on that word gospel a little today with our listeners, though. So that word gospel, it means good news, literally, good news. And when we have our scripture readings for Reformation, all of them, I think, touch on the gospel, and rightly so. So we've got those words of Paul from Romans 3. We know them, John. They come up every year. They're well known. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the law. But then Paul goes on, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And then the gospel reading is usually John chapter 8 for Reformation. So that's where Jesus is talking to the Jews and, you know, about being a slave to sin, right?
Right.
And then Jesus talks about what sets them free. Remember what he says about who or what sets them free, John?
Abide in the word. Right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, that, and then if the Son sets you free, right?
Yep.
You'll be free indeed. Yes. In the Word, and the Word that reveals to us the Son, Jesus Himself, who sets us free.
There you go. I was going to say that. That's the key thing about that gospel lesson. Is it in Matthew? What's that from, Matt?
So John 8.
You said John. And so that's what I always point out. So abide in the word. What does that mean? Well, the word is, as you just illustrated, the word is Jesus. That's what John says. Jesus is the word. Forgiveness is the word. And these are the things that make us Lutherans. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Right on. So I think, you know, when we think about the gospel, then boy, a lot of different words could describe what the gospel is, right? You know, we heard in Romans 3, we heard it as kind of a justifying gospel or redeeming gospel. John 8 calls it a freeing gospel, I think we could say. So lots of different descriptions for the gospel, and they're all true. But in Revelation, and see, I'm getting there, John, in Revelation 14, there's a different word that describes the gospel. And that's
what I want
to focus on today.
Oh, okay.
What adjective describes the gospel in Revelation 14? So if you could read that for us, Revelation 14, let's go ahead and read verses 6 and 7 and be listening for what word describes the gospel.
Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.
All right. Thanks, John. So a beautiful picture here from Revelation, but also a picture of judgment too.
If you read on, it's not a happy story.
Yeah, you're right. So, you know, it's a gospel picture, but it's also this picture of judgment has come as well. I think for those of us who are in Christ, it's ultimately a beautiful picture, right?
Yeah,
as we anticipate Christ's return. But yeah, like so much of the book of Revelation, it's a mixed bag. I mean, it's gospel, but it's also judgment. And that message of ultimately, be ready for Christ's return.
I think what's interesting is if you don't have judgment, then you don't have any gospel, right? Mm-hmm. If there is no judgment, if there is no wrath, if there is no punishment, then, well, who cares, right? It's only because those are a reality, and we all face them because the wages of sin is death. And believe you me, as I'm approaching my surgery, I'm realizing, sooner or later, that's going to get me. I've been done pretty good for 70 years, but it'll catch. But that's the gospel, that somehow that is going to all be undone.
Yeah.
But I'm still waiting.
Exactly.
For the word.
Gospel.
You said there's a word here about the gospel. But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, I just confirm what you said, Johnny. It's law and gospel. Yeah, and without the law, without the judgment, it's like, well, yeah, the gospel's not a big deal. But if we're being delivered, redeemed from that.
Oh, man, yeah.
From sin and delivered from death, boy, that means everything. Yeah. So, yeah, so back to the word that describes the gospel here. So what is it, the word that describes the gospel there in verse 6, John?
It's eternal. It's eternal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though I've read that passage for the 40 years I was a minister, I must acknowledge I never focused on that word, but now it's the eternal gospel.
Yeah. And it's so there's all different facets to the gospel that you could preach on. And you know, over your 40 years, you probably preached on 40 different facets of the gospel. And I think it's beautiful. I mean, we never exhaust the beauty and wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But one facet, at least, is that it's eternal. It's eternal.
What does that mean, yeah, Matt, that it's eternal?
I'm glad you asked,
John.
You're
going to get there? Okay.
Yeah, we're getting there. So we had eighth graders here at Ascension, and then that same week we had grandparents here, too. It was Grandparents' Day for our school, Word of Life Lutheran, and we had over 200 grandparents, John. That's a lot of grandparents. Yeah. We had three chapel services to accommodate everyone in our sanctuary. And
oh, my goodness. Wow.
And what I focused on in part for that message was, well, change. You know, and our students have seen changes over their lifetime. But boy, the grandparents, someone like you, John, have seen lots of changes over your lifetime.
So, I remember Matt riding on the back of a dinosaur when I was just a young child.
Yeah. I know. And then amazing.
And now we have cars.
You look through the horse and buggies, and now you have your own car. Watch out. Yeah. So that's kind of what I did with the grandparents was, you know, talk about a couple different things. But one of the things was the cell phones, you know. So, talked about sort of a picture of the iPhone, you know, all the students recognize that, you know, and then grandparents know what that is. And then a picture of a phone hanging on the wall at home, and the students weren't so sure what that was.
What is that?
You know, what's this, a home phone? Why? And then a rotary phone. Oh, we're going back. You know, most students had never seen a rotary phone before, but grandparents knew what that was. And then just for fun, I showed an antique phone, the kind where you hold the one piece to your ear and then you talk into the phone mounted to the wall.
So, and anyway, you had to crank it. There was a crank on the side.
You remember those days, John?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's maybe going back a little too far for most grandparents even, but you know, the point is that, boy, things change rapidly and technology changes. I you know, when it comes to the gospel, and here's the point, John, you know, Satan would probably love for us to think that that's how the gospel is too. That, you know, with your cell phone, you change it in every couple years, or a guy like you is into technology, maybe even more often. And, you know, they're obsolete so quickly. And, you know, Satan would love for us to think that the gospel becomes obsolete, you know, that maybe the gospel doesn't have that much to say to us in our modern world today, or maybe the gospel changes, you know, maybe the gospel isn't the same gospel that it was back in Jesus' day. Maybe the message has changed. And part of that word eternal, I think, John, assures us that, no, it doesn't change. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because it's centered in Jesus Christ. And he never changes, right? He's unchanging. So that idea of the gospel being eternal and timeless and endless is really the focus that I had, at least for Reformation this year. Yeah, any thoughts on that?
And Matt, now that you bring it out, that is so beautiful at a personal level as well. And especially as you contrast the kids and the grandparents, because there was a point in time I didn't worry about dying, Matt. You know, I was a young punk like you, well, even younger than you. You remember those. See, you're getting old now, too.
Youngish.
Young,
it depends on who you ask, who you're talking to.
Yeah. because you've got kids in college now and stuff. But as you get older, you begin to realize, oh man, there's all kinds of things that go wrong. There's all kinds of problems. And yes, you get sick. Death is going to be there somewhere. And yet you're right, the gospel didn't change. God's love and forgiveness for me remain the same. Some days I'm feeling really good and happy. Other days I'm contemplating going in for surgery, and I'm not so happy about that. But yeah, that eternity, that's what's great. None of that makes any difference. God loves me just as much as he did when I'm young. He loves me just as much when I'm going to surgery as when I'm feeling really healthy. So that eternal is a big, big part of the gospel, and that Jesus doesn't change.
Yeah, thanks, John. So I think, you know, at a personal level, that's so true. You know, in our lifetime, however many years God blesses us with on this earth, the gospel will not change. Yeah. The gospel will not change this lifetime, no matter whether we're healthy or sick or rich or poor, whatever the circumstance, good times and bad, the gospel doesn't change. And that is a great, great comfort, no doubt. I think, you know, you can look at that at a wider level too. You know, you look at our world circumstances and, you know, how changes in our world, again, can't change the gospel either. So what I want to focus on a little bit are just times already, though, throughout history and throughout scripture even, where Satan has tried to trick people into thinking the gospel isn't eternal.
Oh, okay,
into thinking
cool.
that the gospel is maybe done for, you know, lost. So here's some examples, and you can think of more too, John, but you know, the one is, you know, I think all the way back in the fall, right? The Adam and Eve sin, and
sure. it's all over with now.
Because, here they are, and they're, you know, they have this intimate relationship with God. They are loved by God, and they know it. They know they are. They're made
paradise.
In his own image. What, Sean?
I said paradise. They're in paradise.
Exactly. Literal paradise, right? They know it. Then they sin, and they try to cover their shame and nakedness. And I'm thinking one of the things that's going through their heads is probably, does God still love us, right?
Well, it wouldn't in mine.
Yeah. And the answer is, well, yes. you know, Satan would like them to think otherwise, but God right away promises a savior, right? Someone to be born of a woman, someone to defeat Satan. It's an eternal gospel. There's a savior on the way. And then I just think of, you know, throughout then the Old Testament and all those generations and all those hundreds of years where, you know, civilization after civilization, kind of takes over Israel, and we think of, you know, slavery and deportation, you know, the hands of the Egyptians and Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and then you finally got the Romans. And I'm thinking some of the people are beginning to wonder, you know, has God forgot about us? Is the gospel even alive anymore? Maybe that hope of the Savior's dead. But again, God shows that the gospel's eternal. And you know, the angel comes and speaks to Mary and assures her, yep, you're going to have a son. His name will be Jesus. He'll be called Son of the Most High, right? The Savior is on the way. The Savior's here. And then, I think maybe the biggest example is, Jesus grows up. You know, he's born. He preaches, he teaches, performs miracles, but he's still rejected by many. And he ends up on a cross. And dying on the cross, thorns pressed into his head. My God, why have you forsaken me? And to those who are there, boy, a lot of people look, just figure, well, Jesus is defeated. The gospel maybe is defeated.
Matt, he says it is finished. So obviously it's over. It's done. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're sitting at the standing at the base of the cross. Whoa. And then even Satan, I'm thinking, probably thinks, I've won. That's the end of the gospel. But then, you know, Easter Sunday comes, and we see just the opposite is true, right? That this is all part of God's plan of salvation, all part of the fulfillment of his gospel promise that Jesus would die, would shed his blood for our forgiveness, and then would be raised to life. You know, the devil's defeated, death is defeated. Again, the gospel's eternal. And then, you know, for Reformation, John, I was thinking, well, that's kind of what it was during Luther's day, right? It seemed like maybe the gospel was done for. After all, you know, the church is selling indulgences and promising forgiveness or at least time off of purgatory or both. You know, if you buy this piece of paper, the church is claiming that you have to have good works and acts of penance in order to really be saved, in order to appease this vengeful, judging God. The Bible, it's not even in the language of the people. They never get to hear scripture for themselves in their own language. And it seems like, yeah, the gospel is all but forgotten, right? Maybe it's done. But then God works through someone like Martin Luther and other reformers too, to bring the church to repentance, to return to God's word, to again just bring the gospel to light. Like we said before, that salvation by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus. It's an eternal gospel, and God works through Luther and others to, again, bring it to light during a time when, boy, it seemed like it was almost forgotten. Yeah.
Do you know, Matt, do you know why they chose this particular passage for Reformation? Do you know the history behind this?
So, I think, you know, wasn't there a thought that this angel flying directly with this eternal gospel is almost alluding to Luther himself? Is that?
Yep. Yeah. No, we're not saying that's true, but that was kind of the tradition that he is the one, the angel, the messenger, because that's what the word angel means. And he was bringing this eternal gospel again, when it seemed like even the church, that's the remarkable thing, even the church had lost the gospel. But of course they hadn't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's the gospel's eternal. It's not going to go away, right? The promise is still sure. And, you know, for God to work through Luther to be his messenger, to bring that to light again, right? Thanks be to God. And, you know, the other thing I would just add, John, too, is, you know, when we look at today now, Satan would love for us to think that circumstances change the gospel today. You know, again, in this time warp of radio, we will have already had the elections, right?
Yeah.
But right now, as we're recording before November the 5th, election day, people are nervous. Boy, you know, what's going to happen? Who's going to be elected? What amendments are going to pass? All those sorts of things. And Satan would love for us to put all of our hope in a certain candidate or a certain proposition or amendment. But just the reminder to our listeners that, you know, on November the 6th, the day after election day, no matter who's been voted in office, no matter what has passed or been defeated, Jesus is still Lord. He's still risen from the dead. You're still saved by God's grace through faith, and the gospel is still an eternal gospel. And what a great comfort that is.
And you know, I would add too, Matt, because we look at the church today, and I think we're thinking, well, maybe Christianity is coming to an end. We're certainly not as popular as we used to be. At least not in the United States. Mm-hmm. The churches are declining. Two of the churches that I preached at this summer are both closing their doors. I hope my preaching there didn't have anything to do with that, but they were small churches, and yeah, they realize they cannot continue. You know, they don't have a full-time pastor. And so, yeah, we see that decline going on. But of course, no, that's the way it's been throughout history, throughout the whole history of God's people. There were times, like you said, when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. Or think about when Joseph was taken off and his dad thought he had been killed by wild beasts. I'm sure at that point he must have thought, well, what's going to happen now? You know, everything's coming to an end. But no, the gospel is eternal. God still loves us. There's still forgiveness. And the dirty little secret that the devil doesn't want you to know is that gospel is continuing to spread throughout the world. And we talk about Lutheranism. There's more Lutherans in Africa now than there are in Europe and over here.
Way more.
So the gospel is just, it's still going crazy. It maybe just not be going crazy right where we're at this point. But no, those words are still expanding. Matt, thank you very much for sharing us on this Reformation, and we thank you for joining us on Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.